Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled David Fled Cave, but life was too much to bear and found a new life. Going to begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said, King of Moab, would you let my father and mother come and stay with me until I learn what God will do for me? So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad says to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. And David left and went to the forest of Rephaim. We are at a pivotal point in David's journey. That is David's spiritual journey with Yahweh. Let me say at the beginning of the program that Yahweh was directing David's path. Most certainly, David may not have felt that way, but our topic is not about David's emotions. You and I understand the ebb and flow of emotion. You and I understand that it is we who give content to the neurochemistry, the biochemistry of emotion. You and I know that emotions come and go. You and I know the high of emotions and the low of emotion. And we also understand that it is not prudent to make decisions that are emotionally charged. So notice where David is in his journey, in his spiritual journey. He is most certainly fleeing from Saul, who wants to take his life. Saul is an individual who is envious of David and is envy. That is, it is soul's envy, not jealousy, that has put him on this course to take David's life. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, we read, whatever Saul set him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousand. David is tens of thousands. Saul was pretty angry with this, and this refrain galled him. Now, in Hebrew, it means Saul burned with anger. So in verse 8, they have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me only with only thousands. More can he get but the kingdom. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So verse 10 tells us, the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. So the king was placed under music therapy, and David was his therapist. Notice what happened in this particular verse. He was prophesying in this house, that is, Saul, while David was playing the harp as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaign. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. All Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaign. Here's the spirit of envy. One of the gospel writers notes that Jesus was delivered up because the religious leaders were envious of him. That is, Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus was delivered up out of envy. Envy. And so, in verse 5, we read, because David understood what was going on with the king, that he acted wise. He acted wise. He acted prudent. He acted with insight, wisdom, and successful understanding. And so therefore, God caused him to prosper and to exercise skill in life. And so Saul was enslaved by approbation lust. Saul had a disease of the spirit called envy. And here we have a picture of the concrete of reality. In verse 11, we read, verse 10 and 11, Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll end David to the wall. But David defeated him twice. Saul was enslaved by approbation lust. He was self-centered, and therefore he was a very insecure individual. There is a sense of inferiority and suspicion. Saul felt that he was jealously guard his illusion and lie by transgressing the known boundaries of Yahweh's will toward David. Notice the split in Saul's person. He knows and speaks truth, and that the flesh urges him on to murderous behavior. But David, in Hebrew, word is a cow. He acted with sagacity. He was sagacious. He acted wisely with insight, wisdom, and successful understanding. Therefore, he was caused to prosper. And so, exercise skill in life. Now, David is growing spiritually. He is growing up. He is growing in spiritual maturity. But the king wants to get rid of him. So, in chapter 19, we see that Saul begins, exercises his plot to kill David. David, in chapter 20, verse 1, then David fled from Naoth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked him, what have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to take my life? David attempts or is attempting to search for a rationale. And so we have David's penetrating questions. Verse 3. But David took an oath and said, your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes, David is speaking with Jonathan. And he says to himself, Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, there is only a step between me and death. David is discouraged. He is discouraged by his situation. David is suffering. David is an outcast, not because of some evil he had done, but because of the insane jealousy of Saul. But God, who makes the wrath of man to praise him, God, who makes the wrath of man to praise him, is going to use Saul's anger as a tool in order to create within David a man after his own heart. Please understand, that God is going to use Saul to excise, to cut out, and to surgically remove the Saul within David. God is going to use the mad king in order to shape whom he wants David to be, state of being, whom he wants David to be. David will be a picture of the coming Messiah, that is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the greater David. Jesus will be called the son of David. Hence the importance of the genealogies recorded in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. As we move on to chapter 21, David went to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. And there he asked for the bread of faces. David lies to Ahimelech, the priest, about his situation. And then David asks for both bread and a wine. Now, in chapter 20, we read, so David hid in the field, and when the new moon festival came, the king sat down to eat. So, we see David's behavior now. So David hid in the field. And as we go on, we see that in chapter 21, verse 10, that day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousand, and David his tens of thousands." Is this David's fault? What is going on here? What is God doing in the life of David? We see that God has David suspended between the old order and the new order. David's suspension between the old order of what his life was under Saul and the new order that is to come was a period of 13 years. David is in panic mode. And so therefore he flees. He is God's man. He is God's servant. He is God's servant on the run. He is God's servant living in uncertainty. Or so it would seem. Or so emotionally it would seem. The old order is gone. And God is so moving David out of the comfort zone so that David can never reach. Because David cannot see at this point the powerful future that God has in store for him. Cannot understand spiritually what God is doing in his life. So in chapter 22, we read in verse 1, David left Gath and escapes to the cave of Adullam. Word Adullam means justice of the people. Justice of the people. David is ejected by the king of Gath. He is in his faith. That is, he thinks David is insane. David has suddenly fallen from lofty spiritual height. And now he goes into survival mode. He goes into survival mode and cunning. In confusion and panic, David resorted to entry. And lie, as in the case of his interview with Ahimelech. David is confused, he is in panic, so he resorts to intrigue, lies, and manipulation instead of trusting in the Lord. He is stripped of all his usual security. So the instinct for survival comes to the surface. That is where he is. And so now he is ready for the cave. Chapter 22, verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. There we read that his brothers and his father's household heard about it. They went down to him there, and all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented. In Hebrew, the word is those who are in bitterness of spirit. In the Greek New Testament, the word for bitterness is pikria, and it means poison, because bitterness is poison to the spirit. Those who were discontented or in bitterness gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. And from there, David went to Mizpah, or Watchtower, in Moab. He says to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them, the king of Moab. Please remember that David's great-grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabite, or a Moabitess. Verse 4, so he left them, that is his family, the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. And this word means net, or net prey. See, God is not going to allow David to figure a way out of his situation. God is not going to allow David to have a hand in his own deliverance. David will not be delivered by his intelligence, by his cunning, by his planning, by his manipulation of events. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how to remove our usual securities out from us. It is only in this matter that we learn a healthy dependency upon the Lord. God knows us. He knows that we will reach out because we don't want the suffering. We don't want to be under the discipline of suffering. Suffering means we are in discomfort. And God knows us. God knows us. And God knows what future He has for us. What David was experiencing was too much to bear. And yet at this point in his life, to show him that God has not abandoned him, God does not abandon his own. There's no abandonment in God. There are some of us who have been abandoned by parents, by spouses, by children, by circumstances, by our country, by friends. And so we suffer with the wound of abandonment. But God does not abandon. God gathers up the fragments of our soul. God sends the prophet Gad in verse 5 of chapter 22 and speaks to David. The prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold." And God speaks to us in much the same way today. Do not stay in the stronghold. Do not stay in the cave. Here is an action toward the future. Do not stay in the net. Get out of the net. Get out of the net of the hunter, the stronghold. So David does a positive action for his own behalf. So David got out of the net, going to the land of Judah. So David left and went to the fort of Gibeah. Everything about David was being exposed in order to be removed. God was going to set David free to be the man after his own heart. Are you in a cave? Are you in a net? Have you become the net prey? God wants you to get out of the stronghold. God says to you, and God is saying to you, do not stay in the stronghold. Do not stay in the net. Go. Get out of the net. Take a positive action on your own behalf. One step. He will never leave us, nor forsake us. He'll never. Kalos. The Greek word for good. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. He leads, Psalm 23, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This morning, if you are in a cave, don't stay. Get out of the stronghold. Let God bless you and meet you, and then you will become the person He wants you to be. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.